But we'll see what changes, if anything does, over the next couple of weeks. We heard from the president himself on Friday night that only if the Lord Almighty comes down from on high and says, Joe, get out of the race, will he do so.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
6:11 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Landfall. The Eye of Beryl is over southeast Texas this morning. Made landfall as a Category 1 hurricane about 4 a.m. our time, according to the National Hurricane Center. Official landfall at Matagorda Beach, southeast of San Antonio and Austin, which of course are further inland, of course, from the Gulf Coast, southwest of Houston and Galveston. All of those cities expected to be affected and are being affected as we speak. More than 130,000 customers already without power this morning. ABC's Andrew Dimbert is on it.
Beryl slamming the Texas coast with flooding rains, damaging winds, even the threat of tornadoes. Rainfall totals could reach 15 inches in isolated areas, with a storm surge up to 7 feet along the Gulf Coast.
15 inches of
rain.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, like, what did they get up in Manawa where they were worried about the dam? Like 5 inches?
Right, yeah.
Right? So add 10 to that. And that's what these folks are going to be dealing with. Beryl is the earliest in the season hurricane landfall in Texas in nearly four decades. You know who loves hurricanes, though? At least before they make landfall. The surfers. And they're not happy.
This is what we came for. This is what we do for. This is what we do. Like, we love to surf. We love to get out there on the waves, get reckless, you know, get crazy.
Yeah, reckless and crazy. Not what officials in Galveston had in mind.
Please don't.
Which, as I said, is just northeast of the landfall, but actually seems to be getting one of the stronger bands right now. So those surfers were kicked off the beach on Sunday and unhappy about it.
Storm has been moving so slowly, too, it seems like. I mean, this is
3 weeks we've been talking about it, right?
Yes, it sure seems like it.
Because there's that spot out there where they sort of all start.
Right, yeah. Then it was hitting the Caribbean islands a little bit.
And so the track was sort of uncertain for a while, but now has obviously materialized in this landfall. It's over land now, which means the wind speeds will start to drop, expected to become, if not already, a tropical storm soon, drop out of that Category 1 hurricane range. But it doesn't diminish the rain potential. It just means the winds will be less, and you still have the potential for tornadoes, as you heard Dimbert say. So a lot to watch here today in Texas as the slow-moving storm makes its way inland. 6:13 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
You could call him Crafty Keuchel.
And Dallas Keuchel does get through four scoreless somehow, some way.
And you will call
you,
him
you could
Crafty
call him that.
Holy cow.
Well, you thought Gina's jokes were bad.
Talk about finding a way. Dallas Keuchel. The Brewers avoid the sweep to the Dodgers thanks to the veteran pitcher who just found a way to get out of every inning.
A lot of guys on base.
4 1/3, 3 hits, 5 walks, no strikeouts, and most importantly, no runs as the Brewers win 9-2.
The reason we picked him up, the front office scouted him, looked at him, see where he's at, and felt like the reason he could help is because his experience. He's not going to give in.
Against that lineup in L.A., whoo, how about that? That's the skipper there, Pat Murphy. MLB.com's Adam McKelvey had this little nugget. The last pitcher to walk 5 and strike out none with no runs in 5 innings, Astros starter Mike Scott. From like 1983 or something like that. Brewers enjoyed home runs from Kristen Yelich, Eric Haas, and Blake Perkins. No game for the crew today. They start the final two series before the All-Star break here at home, starting with the Pirates tomorrow night.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek national basketball team, celebrating after beating Croatia 80-69 Sunday. More importantly, qualifying for the Olympic Games, which begin later this month in Paris. For Giannis, I mean, think about it. Not many firsts left for Giannis in basketball, right?
Running low of them. Yeah.
But this dream finally achieved. It is a first for Gianni. First ever trip to the Olympics.
I'm just happy, man. I'm just happy that I have a good coaching staff, a good team. I'm in the Olympics. I just want to go compete, be more healthy, compete, and try to make something happen. But again, as coach say, I will enjoy every moment because you never know in life. I will enjoy every moment.
Giannis had 23 on the night. As for his health, I mean, appears to be covering well from that injury.
This is a good thing, right? The fact that he's making the Olympics, that he led the team, means that he should be healthy.
You know, and for our guy, long before he even contemplated the idea that he might one day play in the NBA, for him, it was about representing Greece mm-hmm. at the highest level in the Olympic Games, and that dream is achieved. I think this is still happening. This is live now. Got another team to root for in the Olympics. They kick off July 26th. This morning, House Republicans want to talk to the doctor. And more Democrats publicly calling on President Biden to step aside and allow Democrats to put up a different nominee for president at their convention in Chicago. We, of course, have our convention, the Republican National Convention here in Milwaukee coming up next week. The Democrats meet in Chicago next month.
If you stay in and Trump is elected and everything you're warning about comes to pass, how will you feel in January?
I feel as long as I gave it my all and I did the goodest job as I know I can do. That's what this is about.
The president speaking there with ABC's George Stephanopoulos in Madison following his campaign rally here in Wisconsin Friday. ABC News national correspondent Stephen Portnoy live with us from Washington this morning. Stephen, let me start with that first point. The House Oversight Committee, led by Republicans, of course, wants to talk to President Biden's physician. What is this about?
Yeah, we'll see what comes of it. Look, James Comer, the head of the House Oversight Committee, wants to interview the president's doctor. I don't know that they're going to get very far with this. I would imagine the White House will try to stonewall it, maybe invoke executive privilege. I don't know if there's much precedent for a president's physician being called up to Capitol Hill by the opposing party to sit for an interview, but we'll see what happens. Look, the reason they want to do it is because they have questions about a possible business relationship that Kevin O'Connor, the president's personal physician, as the physician to the president, may have had in the years that he wasn't president. In the years between 2017 and 2021, there was mention of a possible business relationship with James Biden, the president's brother. And the suggestion is that maybe that business relationship is coloring some of the advice or public statements that Dr. O'Connor has made to the country about the president's health. Let's see what happens there. The bigger, broader picture really has to do with the soundbite that you just played as an introduction to this. And that's the answer that's been ringing in Democrats' heads since Friday night. And that is whether Joe Biden understands how Democrats feel at this moment in time. And yesterday, four more House Democrats, senior members of the party, ranking members of committees, which means that they're the top Democrats of committees, have come out to say that they believe the president should step aside. And these are bold-faced names here in Washington. Jerry Nadler, the top Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee. Adam Smith, the top Democrat on the House Armed Services Committee, among those now calling for the president to stand aside. Now, it's fewer than 10, all told, in the House, who've signed their names to the idea that the president should stand aside, and I'm not aware of a single senator who has publicly said that the president should stand aside. But increasingly, the drumbeat is audible and getting louder.
Stephen, what's the timeline on something like this? Is there a deadline where they'd have to make a decision before it's too late?
The practical deadline, really, is whenever the Democrats have their virtual roll call in advance of Ohio's August 7th ballot deadline. Now, I'm going to head to your fine city later this week mm-hmm. for the Republican convention. And about a month from then is when the Democrats will have their convention in Chicago. But what they've decided to do is not have the roll call of the states in Chicago, because that would be after the August 7th deadline in Ohio. So they thought that they would just tie it all up with a bow and do it on the internet. Fine, except for the current crisis that the Democratic Party is in. Now, soon, within the next couple of weeks, the Democrat Party Credentials Committee will be sending out essentially, I don't know if they're ballots or some sort of certification letter to all of the delegates for the Democratic Convention, thousands of them, who've been chosen in the process that was a part of the primaries and all that since the start of the year. And those individual people, those delegates, are going to fill out the form and decide whether they are in fact pledged to Joe Biden or whether they'll withhold their support for Biden. And that will be a key test of whether there is truly an existential crisis for the top of the ticket or not. Now, at the moment, there's no reason to think that most of those delegates will say that they're going to withhold their support for Joe Biden. These are party loyalists and Biden loyalists. And so far, I would expect that they will dig in as deeply as the president and his senior advisors have. But we'll see what changes, if anything does, over the next couple of weeks. We heard from the president himself on Friday night that only if the Lord Almighty comes down from on high and says, Joe, get out of the race, will he do so.
Stephen Portnoy, ABC News national correspondent. Make sure you find us. We'll be over there with all the rest of the throngs of media at the RNC. So
I will see you there.
All right. We'll buy you coffee as long as we're all up at this hour.
Right.
6:25 on Wisconsin's Morning News. You know, something else to consider as well is whether or not Democrats could force the president off the ballot or whether he does have to step down, whether that has to be, whether it's coerced or not, but whether he has to step aside as opposed to can they broker this convention?
And then you need another candidate, too.
And then, oh, by the way,
there's
who's
that
run?
Too. And who's behind the scenes is working that angle. I don't think this will happen, but boy, you could take some oxygen out of the room of the RNC if you make some big announcement next week that you got another candidate.
Then all of a sudden, that's the story.
That's the story.
Right? Instead of everything that's happening on the Republican mm-hmm. side of the ticket. Brewers return home for one final homestand before the All-Star break. Sports at 6:45.
If it's a franchise that works and it's animated, it's going to make money.
Look up.
Everybody was looking up this holiday weekend at Despicable Me 4. It earned $75 million over the weekend, more than $122.5 million since its Wednesday opening. Those minions helped continue Hollywood's upward trend. Another factor? Talking about feelings.
We are suppressed emotion!
Inside Out 2, the year's biggest hit, is the first billion-dollar movie of the year. It's produced by Disney, the parent company of ABC News. It was second, A Quiet Place Day One, and third, Brian Clark, ABC News.
So yeah, Despicable Me 4, Inside Out 2, and even A Quiet Place is a sequel or a prequel to a franchise, so...
That's the secret. It's the family movie, apparently.
It's the family movie. Animated family movie because you got five, or maybe they're bringing a couple of friends with them, or it's a birthday party, and you multiply those tickets.
That's not a couple. It's always multiples, right? So you're taking the kids, and like you say, maybe they're friends and whatever. Mm-hmm. So every trip to the theater is more tickets than it is if it's a date night movie or something like that. So that's the secret.
I fully admit, I like Inside Out, the first one, and I'm a big Pixar guy. I did not see that coming, that would make $1 billion. Just did not expect that.
Well, because the counter argument is, you know, what is it that brings people to the theater these days? We say, you know, it's the movie that you have to see on the big screen.
See, that's for you and me. It's the Gen Xers and maybe the late millennials that are into that. But the rest of them, hey... Family film. Let's just go see
it. I got nothing
to
do. It's raining again.
So, let's go.
Let's go. 6:38, Wisconsin's Morning News.
Imagine four people living together for more than a year in a tiny little area for science. They did it for science. Four volunteers sealed inside a simulated Mars habitat. They did so for more than a year to find out how people will react to a closed environment. And they probably learned about each other, too.
They locked the door on June 25th of last year. Didn't come out till Saturday. Four NASA volunteers simulating isolation in close quarters of life on Mars. Flight engineer Ross Brockwell is...
Very grateful to have had this incredible opportunity to live for a year within the spirit of planetary adventure. Towards an exciting future.
The crew took simulated Mars walks, grew and harvested several vegetables, and maintained their equipment and habitat. Two additional mission simulations are planned for 2025 and 2027. Dave Packer, ABC News.
They've been separated from their families, placed on a carefully prescribed meal plan, and undergone a lot of observation. Like, how much observation? That said, the director of the quartet lived and worked inside a space of about 1,700 square feet.
And these are the heroes, tell you, because this is the least sexy space mission of all time.
Absolutely.
They're on the ground, right?
Absolutely.
At least if you're on your way to Mars for a year, you're on your way to Mars.
What? You know,
like the world celebrates you.
Yes.
You've done this thing.
You're anticipating. There's going to be schools named after you.
The view is pretty good.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, a lot more can go wrong.
You're the first ever to do it.
Yes.
In the history of humankind.
These folks.
Yeah, no one will remember these folks. The first thing that I thought of after they let them out was, I don't know why, but I was like, oh, what did it smell like? Like, was it just stink in there to smell like a frat house?
What? No, why would you assume that? I'm sure they had showers and stuff.
No, I mean, after a while, you just let it go, don't you?
Got to be pretty good HVAC in there.
I suppose.
Or you mean you just sort of let yourself go?
A little bit, but also, like come
on. 4 months, 5 months, 7 months, like, what the hell does it matter anymore? You know, people are watching. You don't care.
Yeah.
Right. And they didn't even get to do anything fun. Like, it sounds like their diet was pretty tight.
Just did some research, obviously trying to grow some vegetables, having a lot of potatoes, maybe. I mean, it's not like Big Brother. I don't think they have like relationships and exciting games that they play.
Perhaps
Julie Chen wasn't part of this.
They should have done it up that way, though.
I agree.
Had the solo interview then after. Wait. I liked Eric when they closed the doors, but that was 5 months ago. And now. Just his little things bother me. Then they cut to a shot of Eric clipping his nails.
Yeah, or snapping my gum.
Yep.
The way he chews his gum.
That's a real thing.
Oh, my, yes, absolutely. And that's all you're going to be trying to do is keep people from losing their mind when you're sending them to Mars. That and keeping them alive.
6:44, Wisconsin's Morning News. Those are the heroes.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Brewers outfielder and NL All-Star starter Christian Yelich enjoying an MVP-like season in the Crew's 9-2 win over the Dodgers on Sunday. Yelly goes 3-for-4 with this tater included.
The pitch hit in the air to center field. That one carrying back. Paez onto the track, turns around, watches it fly. Goodbye! Christian Yelich, dead center, two-run home run. He just missed one back in the first. He didn't miss this baby here in the fourth, and the Brewers have a 2-0 lead.
Yes, sir. Yelly is batting .329. He's not the best hitter in the NL today, Vince, but he will be tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, because there are certain thresholds, right, for a number of at-bats or something like that?
Yeah, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says since he missed 3 weeks earlier in the season, you may recall, he doesn't have enough plate appearances to qualify in the league leaderboard, but he'll likely get those tomorrow when he starts that series against the Pirates, and when he does, he will be at the top, Skip.
I'm not going to get too giddy, but he's had an incredible year, but more importantly, he has an incredible impact on our team, incredible impact on the young guys.
Pat Murphy there. No game today. They're back at it this week. Final week before the All-Star break. Pirates are in for 3, followed by the Nationals. And coming up at 7:15, why we now call him Crafty Keuchel.
We?
You and I. Both of us.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek national basketball team, celebrating after beating Croatia 80-69 on Sunday. More importantly, they qualify for the Olympic Games, which begin later this month in Paris. If you know anything about Giannis, not a lot of firsts left for a global superstar like him in basketball, right? He's won his NBA championship, two-time MVP in the NBA, but his dream, before that was a dream, was reaching the Olympics and playing for Greece.
I'm just happy, man. I'm just happy that I have a good coaching staff, a good team. I'm in the Olympics. I just want to go compete, be more healthy, compete, and try to make something happen. You know. But again, as coach say, I will enjoy. I will enjoy every moment. I will enjoy every moment because you never know in life. I will enjoy every moment.
Giannis, 23 on the night. As far as our interests are concerned, I mean, I'm happy for him and all, but what about the Bucks, right? Looks like he's recovering from that injury.
Which is great news, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and they're supporting that. I thought that was so cool. You see that video of him getting emotional, sitting down, becoming an Olympian, and his kids holding a little sign that says Paris bound, kind of waving it in front of his dad.
It reminded me of that moment on the bench right after the Bucks won the championship, right here in Milwaukee,
Absolutely. And
he kind of just... Yep. I'm taking this moment by myself to take it in and to experience all that. But so that was his kid, huh, in front there?
Yeah.
Yeah, waving around that sign.
That's pretty epic. I mean, also, Greece, okay? He's playing for where the Olympics started. That is so cool.
So another team for all of us to root for as the Olympics kick off July 26th. .653 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Two stories we want to update you on as there are significant developments that occurred during the holiday week. And a lot of folks check out on the news cycle, probably for the week, with where the fourth fell this year. Right? Thursday. So if you did go to work early in the week, you didn't work that hard, did you? Right?
By Wednesday noon.
Right. Forget it. Ghost town, wherever you were. Then Thursday, and then a lot of folks took the Friday. So maybe you check out of the news cycle as well. A lot of time with family and other things. But these are significant developments in a couple of major stories. Both of them involve controversial political decisions in Wisconsin. Ballot drop boxes and Act 10. Let's start with the latter. The relitigation of Act 10 continues its march towards its inevitable end back before the state Supreme Court under a new liberal majority. Act 10, just to remind folks, this was Governor Scott Walker's signature piece of legislation. It drastically curtailed collective bargaining powers for most public union employees, including public school teachers across the state. That touched off the spring of chaos at the Capitol. The protests that went for weeks, the occupation of the inside of the Capitol Rotunda, Senate Democrats fleeing the state in an effort to block passage of the legislation. Recall efforts then against Governor Scott Walker, Lieutenant Governor, members of the legislature. Well, it passed in 2011. And here we are in 2024 with now that liberal majority on the high court, and opponents of the legislation are trying to get it shut down. Last week, a Dane County judge who still has not answered calls to recuse himself from the case, since it appears he was among those who signed the recall petition against Governor Walker at the time. That judge ruled that certain provisions of Act 10 are not constitutional, Judge Jacob Frost. And he has asked for follow-up now from attorneys to determine next steps. So at this point, we don't even know sort of what teeth this ruling has. Like, do we just, does that mean right now we go back to old collective bargaining rules?
Good question.
Remains unclear. So he's asked to hear from attorneys on both sides. But what it means immediately right now remains murky, as does its ultimate future. Supporters celebrating, they see a path to ultimately getting this thing tossed. Republican Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux summing up frustrations among state conservatives. Act 10 has been found legal and constitutional against multiple state and federal court actions for close to 15 years. This is yet another example of courts legislating from the bench. Well, what about that 4-3 liberal majority? Here's a fly in the ointment for those who want to see Act 10 thrown out. Justice Janet Protasiewicz, most recently elected in 2023, she has said publicly that she would consider recusing herself from an Act 10 case if it were to come before the high court, because she was among those openly opposing and protesting against its passage, and she signed the Walker recall petition in 2011. She hasn't committed one way or another, but that would make the court 3-3, not 4-3, and a 3-3, a tie, means things remain status quo. So that's Act 10. The other thing that came down Friday was a ruling from the high court that drop boxes are back, at least for the foreseeable future. This from the majority opinion, it was a 4-3 decision, liberal majority all voting in favor, the conservative minority voting against. Our decision today does not force or require any municipal clerks to use drop boxes. It merely acknowledges what state law has always meant, that clerks may lawfully utilize secure drop boxes in an exercise of their statutorily conferred discretion. That was Justice Ann Walsh Bradley writing for the majority. Now, those opposed to it have said, look, there's nothing in state law that says you can have drop boxes. And drop boxes are what? How would you describe that?
Like almost like a mailbox?
Yeah, yeah. So you can drop your absentee ballot in one of these secure locations.
And oftentimes they're in front of a clerk's office,
yes,
right? Downtown of the village or whatnot.
And Milwaukee most widely utilized them, Milwaukee and Madison, putting them all over the place. And they have plans to immediately reinstate those for the future elections here. I don't know. I go back and forth on whom these actually benefit. But without regard for the political benefit to one side or another, there is the issue of whether they are allowed under state law. So the against opinion has been, look, state law doesn't say you can have them. So if it doesn't say you can have them, that means you can't. 4-3 liberal majority said, no, it allows clerks have discretion under the law to put these things out. So that's where we are right now. There will be drop boxes for the near future. I would like the legislature to get together and set some rules on this. And that's neither right nor left. Just as long as everybody's on the same playing field, as long as everybody has the same access to these drop boxes, as long as clerks are all playing by the same rules, then fine. And the rules are the rules. But lay it out there and something that everybody can agree on so it's standard across the state. 6:58 on Wisconsin's Morning News.